Hi, this is Sean Douglas, host of the live online radio show, Life Transformation Radio, and you are listening to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with my good friend, Robert Thibodeau. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss any upcoming episodes. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is part two of our two-part interview with Dr. Barbara Lowe. She is a licensed psychologist with her own practice, a board-certified life coach, a somatic experiencing practitioner, an EMDR practitioner, as well as a researcher, educator, and a lay minister as well. And we've been talking with her about her background and how she helps others that have had traumatic pasts make that transformation into what would be called a normal lifestyle. And she's been sharing with us about how childhood trauma and unmet needs from childhood can affect someone years after the traumatic event happened. A lot of times they don't even know what was taking place. And that's where we start off our interview. This is a fascinating interview. She is full of information. She has her own podcast, her own vlog. You need to go to her website. All the information is in the show notes. We'll be going over it at the end of this episode. But you need to refer someone that you care about or go check out her website yourself. But right now, let's jump right back into the interview with Dr. Barbara Lowe. Okay, so you're saying that these unmet childhood needs can affect marriages today, even though it was something that happened in their childhood and raising their own children, parenting, even careers, the jobs that they're having issues with or something like that. This is caused or could one of not is caused, but could be caused by something that happened, a problem they had during childhood.
Yeah, I think a lot of times things go back to either childhood or some kind of trauma that's happened, or something that's happened where we've developed a script about ourselves that is unhelpful, and even sometimes or often based on the lie of the enemy. But yes, with our careers, we hear about imposter syndrome sometimes. If the listener hasn't heard of it, it's really an interesting phenomenon to look up. But what's under imposter syndrome is basically this felt sense of, I don't deserve this. There's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. And if people really found out who I am, what I am, they wouldn't follow me. They wouldn't hire me. They wouldn't believe in me. They wouldn't want to be around me. Well, that's pretty deep. And a lot of that could be based on things that happened in our childhood. You know, sometimes we might have great parents but have gone through bullying in our childhood, and that has gotten lodged in there. For some people, growing up with food scarcity, you know, growing up without being able to have your basic needs met, that is going to affect how valuable you feel and how secure you feel in life. So there are a lot of things that can happen in our past that do affect our present. Now, I know that it can be a little stereotypical for a psychologist to be talking about, you know, our mommy issues. But there really is some truth to this. And because memory is based on perception and memory ties into other beliefs about ourselves that have been laid down, sometimes even the best intentions of the people around us, even with the best intentions from the people around us, we can end up with unintentional wounds that are impacting us today. And it is important to look at these kind of like how you put your laundry out on the line, your sheets in the summer. I remember we used to do this when I was little, and just to get to have fresh sheets from the outdoors. Right. We kind of want to do that with our mind and our soul, right? We want to clean it out, air it out.
And for a lot of these people, they're not even aware that their current life's problems have a root cause back 20 years ago or more?
That's right. One of the things I do with people in session is they'll bring up a situation that's going on currently, and I'll say, okay, so get in touch with the felt sense, how you feel in your emotions and in your body, because we feel our emotions in our body, and get in touch with that. And then as you're really feeling into that, I want you to scroll back on that feeling to a time where you felt that before. And I'd like for you to go to either the most salient or the most pronounced time you felt that, or the youngest time you felt that. And just be with that for a minute and see what comes up. And often we land on some kind of loss or hurt or unmet need. Then we can bring into that place, what would an ideal parent or an ideal friend, or what would God say in that place, and really be with that need, that hurt, in a new way in the context of a relationship with me and also with this resource. And we're bringing their adult self into it, because you know, usually these are adults we're doing this with,
although
you can do it with adolescents. But we're bringing in a more adult presence, also a witness from within the person. And so we can have healing in that place from the past, even though we're fully present in this current time.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Now, you know, just a quick background. You know, I grew up, you mentioned alcoholic background, and, you know, my dad was an alcoholic in and out of prison most of his life and all that. And I remember when I was about 12, 13 years old, he'd been married four times, that I'd made the decision, you know, I'm never going to drink. I'm never going to go to jail. When I get married, it's one time and that's it, period, you know. And I joined the military straight out of high school. And within 2 years, I was married and had kids, and it would have been 1986 at the time, right in that area. So I was, 27, 28, and I was an alcoholic, and my marriage was on the rocks, and we got in a big argument, and I got arrested. And when they put me in the holding cell waiting for my unit rep to come pick me up, when they slammed that door, it all hit me, like, the three things I said I would never do, and here I am in jail, marriage is on the rocks, I'm an alcoholic, the three things I said I was never going to do, and here I am. And it served as a wake-up call for me. It really started to turn my life around at that point. But I look back, and I see that, you know, with my dad and that family situation, basically, you know, my mother died when I was 18 months old, and then he was remarried three times while I was growing up. That created a lot of turmoil. It really did. And I think that's one of the reasons why my wife and I, we worked it all out. We've been married now for going on 41 years. And, you know, two grown daughters, seven grandkids, and we're all living locally, so we all support one another. And to me, you talked about your husband's roots and the family. I had to establish that for our family. And that's one of the reasons why I think everyone just stayed together, is because they have such a sense of family right now. And as you're talking this, I'm looking back and I see that this is why I did what I've done, keeping the family together, because I lacked all that growing up. It just makes complete sense just talking to you now. That makes a lot of sense. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. Amen. We have a need for community and belonging. This idea that we need God and God alone, mm-hmm. it's true in a certain sense, but I think we add too much America into that, like American ideals, because when we look in the Bible, it's very community. You know, Paul said, what's my treasure? You are my treasure. Relationships are the treasure. And so we need to have boundaries. We need to not be codependent. We need to be healthy, attached in a healthy way to one another while still holding on to ourselves, which is part of the healing process. But we do need each other, and we need belonging, and we need community. And I'm so happy for you that you have created that, Pastor. You know, when I think about you in that jail cell, gosh, my heart, oh, so much compassion. But it makes sense that you ended up there because you had so many unmet needs, and you also probably had a resentment against your dad. I think sometimes when we have a resentment, it's an open door for the enemy to come in and make us the very thing we're trying to not be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
But you had unmet needs, probably for nurturing and for a mom and a dad. And so your story, like my story, makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I used to dabble in a lot of kind of addictive kind of behaviors when I was just to cope, just to handle being with myself, because one thing I found, no matter where I go, there I am, right?
That's one way of looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to have a good relationship with me, because there is no getting away from me.
Yeah.
Amen. None.
Amen. And I wanted to go back just a second, because you actually led into the next question when you start talking about God. A lot of times, especially for people in the ministry, you'll hear, God's all you need, right? Well, isn't God enough to help them overcome their past and achieve victory? And I'm speaking here about using faith in the Word, as many preachers today, like you said, especially in Western churches, say, that's all you need. That's all you need to achieve victory over everything. But, that, I believe, in the spiritual realm, yes, but you also have the physical and the mental realm. I think that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Well, if God is all I needed, then why did he put different gifts in the body and only gave me a portion of those gifts? I mean, he kind of set it up so that we would need each other. Mm-hmm. One of the things I like to think about is I like to look at the state of humans when they're born and compare that to some other mammals. So you think about like a horses, you think about a baby foal, it pops out and it is standing.
Yeah.
It is standing. I'm my husband is a horse person. I just come along for the ride, literally. But I've never seen a horse born, but humans are amazingly cognitively precocious when they're born, but they can do very little from a motor standpoint. I believe God did that on purpose to teach us how much we need each other, that we need to develop this deep trust of our caregivers, and we need to be taken care of, and then we need to care for one another in life. And that caring that we get from our parents when we're really little is the foundation of trust and attachment that we need in all our relationships. Mm-hmm. So I think we can see a lot in the natural and in the spiritual realm regarding us needing each other. I know we're not animals in this, like, I know that we're spiritual, eternal beings. So I don't mean that we're animals in that way, but if the human animal or the human being is a pack animal, like,
correct.
And so, we're made to co-regulate. Now, if we're like John on the Isle of Patmos and we're there, I'm assuming he was there all by himself mostly. Yeah, we need to, our faith is enough. God is enough. God is enough. But if we are not blending and doing life together with other believers and other folks in our life, other safe people in our life, something is wrong. Something is missing. And we really need to look at, do I have an attachment wound? Do I have wounds? Do I have resentments? Do I have hurts that are keeping me from doing life? And me, like most people who've been a Christian for a while, because it's almost been 30 years, I've been hurt by churches and I've been hurt by Christians. I mean, I've been left by a pastor's kid who I was married to. So, there's hurt that you have to work through. But we need to work through it because we do need each other.
Amen. Amen. Do you counsel men as well as women, or women only in this area? How does that work?
Yeah, I do. Our practice, we see people cradle to grave. And as far as my skill set, I'm able to see people from pretty much cradle to grave, although I don't do a lot of geriatric stuff. Mm-hmm. So we do couples, we do groups, we do, I see men, I see women, I see adolescents, I see kids. But for the Dr. Barbara piece, my national platform, the Lord has really called me to snap women into position in a way that's going to affect the nations. I believe he's shown me that women have been tamped down by an act of the enemy, and mm-hmm. that he wants to help me raise, he wants me to be part of his plan, and I'm sure there are many of us out there doing this, to raise women up and to work on some of these childhood wounds. Now, I love men. I'm married to a fantastic man. I'm not angry at men. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of compassion for what's going on with men of all colors. I think it's actually a hard time to be a man, but for this particular platform with the Hearts Returning Home, I believe God's called me more to women than men, although I know that men follow me as far as on social media platforms, and I'm sure some of them will go through the course.
Amen. Okay. What about people in ministry? Do you see these same issues affecting those in ministry as well?
Oh, my gosh, yes. As a matter of fact, some of my favorite people to work with are people in ministry and people who are therapists, because there can be this feeling like I have to be perfect. And also, they're going to want a higher level skill set often. They're going to want someone who's going to really be able to know what we're working with and go in there in a new and fresh way, because these are caregivers. So they, mm-hmm. they're not going to want entry level skills. They're already helping people, right? So one of the things I do love is helping those who are the caregivers out there to heal. So absolutely. And unfortunately, I think for our church leadership, sometimes there can be shame in just being a human. And one of my favorite statements to say is flawed is the new fabulous, that we're all flawed and that we're all gifted as well. And we don't have to be everything because God's put many gifts in the body, and we don't have to be perfect. We can just press on with our calling and our purpose and be a person walking with God. So we're not running towards sin, certainly not. We're running towards God, but we're not claiming to be or trying to be perfect. That's a burden that no person should put on themselves.
And that's something that I see and hear a lot of, especially when it's concerning problems in ministry, is these pastors and ministers, they have a problem because they have to project that they have everything under control so that people will feel comfortable coming to them for help and counseling and things like that. And how does that perception, especially in ministry, about, again, we go back to the mask that they wear, the public persona, that inside they're going through all this turmoil, but on the outside they have to present this projection. Doesn't that add like another layer of problems upon what they already have?
Oh, yes, Pastor. So here's what I would say. Because they are in the spotlight a lot, and because there can be some judgment, which is not right. It's not right. We need to not judge our leaders. But I do know that that can be out there. The Bible says we don't cast our pearls before swine. But I do think that it is important for pastors to develop several different levels of relationships. Definitely that peer level, those people that you can just be yourself with, where you can partake of their gifts, they partake of your gifts, so to speak. Like, I have a friend who says, we swap gifts with our peers, we swap, and then we give our gifts to those we minister to, and then other people, if we're in business with our gifts, they have to pay. I like that.
I hadn't heard that before. That's good.
That's good, isn't it? That's good. But we need to have people who are pouring into us. We need to have people that we can just be on the couch with, be fully ourselves, if we, like, I know some lay people, I mean, some pastors who, when they're with me, they feel free to, like, say a cuss word here and there. And I know they don't do that with other people. And it's not really offensive or disrespectful. It's just that they can be themselves with me, and they need that. And then the people that you're pouring out to, because it takes a lot to hold a community. It is a lot of pressure. And I like to say I'm striving to be average with streaks of greatness. And a lot of pastors, when I say that, they're like, what? No, we're after excellence. Well, I'm a pretty driven girl, so I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And for me, it's been so freeing to just do it as myself rather than strive to be great all the time. Just be me. And to be honest with you, and I feel like whispering as I say this, I'm more fruitful when I strive less.
We won't tell anybody. We'll just keep it between us.
Our secret.
That's right. Now, you have several free resources on your website. Can you describe some of them and how they can help people who want to go and grab them from your website?
Sure. So I do have a podcast that's on iTunes and a couple other places. And Charisma Media, Charisma Podcast Network runs it. They support us. And that's called the Whole Life Podcast. And that's where I sometimes do one-off shows, and I also interview women. I have a couple ebooks out there. I have Hope for the Dark Side of Motherhood on my website under, books or content or something like that. I have a book on self-care that is wonderful. It is not your normal self-care book. It incorporates psychological and spiritual tools. And I have a couple other ebooks. I have some blogs out there, and all that is free, so people can access all that on my website.
Amen. Now, you are also offering live seminars, these live intensives, retreats. Are these for women only, or will you do them for, like, entire groups, you know, like a church leadership retreat or something like that?
Oh, I love helping people. So I am open to anything as far as being a speaker. So people can contact me at drbarbara@drbarbaralowe.com if they would love to have me as a speaker. Because I own a practice and have built this practice myself, and I supervise the people within the practice, it's really helped me to develop my clinical tools in so many different areas. And so there are a lot of different areas that I can help. And I love helping the church. I love helping the church, God's beautiful bride, you know, and if there's any way that I can help, I'd be happy to.
Amen. What is the one thing that you want somebody listening to you today, right now, to take away from this interview?
What comes to mind is the transformation of trauma. If you have gone through a loss or a hurt in your life, and I would like for you to think about the one thing that you think, God can't heal this. This is too deep. This is too big. And what I want to tell you is that is the very, very thing that not only is God going to heal you from and wants to heal you from and will heal you from, but you're going to minister in that area. And here is how I know that. Because the hurt that has come to your life has been from the enemy, and it's the assignment of the enemy. And the assignment of the enemy is always a counter assignment to the assignment of God. So if you have been blasted with rejection, if you have been blasted with illness, what is the opposite of that? Because that is God's assignment for you. And this is the place where God wants you to walk through the process of healing and deliverance so that you can impart healing to others. He wants to make rivers of living water flow from you. And that word in John, if you look it up in the Greek, it can mean a torrent. So a torrent, I mean a rapid, almost violent movement of God through you to heal, to transform others.
Amen. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, Doctor, perhaps they want to attend one of your seminars or intensives, or maybe even they want to get in touch to do an interview such as this, how can they do that?
I think emailing me or really going to my website and connecting with me that way. I send out a couple emails a week. I will often, it's like I go gathering in the morning during that quiet time I told you about. And God specifically puts things on my heart for people who I would call my tribe or who are on my list. And I love emailing you guys. So yeah, get on my list by going to my website, or you can email me and you can get all my contact information at my website or on Facebook. You can probably contact me that way as well.
Amen. I'll put links to all that in the show notes. Dr. Barbara, I want to thank you again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. It's my prayer that the Lord has had someone somewhere that needed to hear you today. That connection has been made, and this interview has inspired them to get in touch.
Amen. It has been such my pleasure to be here with you, and I appreciate you opening up, too, about your early start and that you're a brother from another mother.
Amen. Amen. Folks, you know someone whom Dr. Barbara has described today. You know. I know you know, because I know. And that someone could even be you. And I want you to know that she's there. She's ready to help. You need to go to her website today, right now, while you're thinking about it. Don't let the devil try and tell you to do it later, because you know as well as I do, he'll do his best to make you forget all about it just to keep you in the pit that you're currently in. So get in touch with Dr. Barbara Lowell right now. At least go to her website and look around. There is all sorts of information on there. You will find something to inspire you. Go get the free resources at the very least. It may very well change your life. Amen. For Dr. Barbara Lowe and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.